The Metis Tech Show.
Welcome to the Metis Tech Show, a show for HVAC professionals by HVAC professionals.
The Metis Tech Show.
So when's the last time you were in Nashville?
I've never been to Nashville.
Rick, have you been to Nashville?
Yes, I have.
Did you know that there's a whole sandwich, a style of sandwich named after Nashville? So I was in Nashville a few months ago, and I had no idea that there's a whole chicken sandwich named after Nashville. So somebody told me to go to Hattie B's, right? And I asked for the spicy. It was so good. It was delicious. But apparently, Nashville is known for their spicy chicken sandwiches. It was delicious. I couldn't believe it. And I want to go to Nashville just to get chicken.
With honey, right?
No, well, the honey, this is going to sound strange because the Hattie B's was really good, and I'm sure there are other places. And those of you who live in Nashville are probably going to say, oh, yeah, you shouldn't have gone to Hattie B's. Go here, go there. Just like any place, any city you go to, there's places the people send you, the tourists, and there's places the locals go. But I went to Hattie B's. I had a very good meal, spicy chicken. It was delicious. So a couple of weeks after that, I came up here back home to Massachusetts. There's a place down the street from the office that we've been sending people to. It's called Nan's. And they have a hot and spicy chicken Sammy, or sweet and spicy chicken Sammy.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
It's incredible.
Right? It's the best chicken sandwich I've ever had. You get this Nashville-style chicken in a nice bun, and it's spicy chicken, a little spicy. It's not as spicy as the one I had at Hattie B's. And then they drizzle it, the whole thing, in honey. So your fingers get sticky, but you're eating this thing, and it's the best chicken sandwich I've ever had. It's just, it's good. And thank you, Nashville, for your contribution to the culinary world, because it was delicious.
Yeah. So Nan's used to be a Wendy's, and now they opened up, and they sell like maple syrups and coffee and coffee, you know, beans and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like a gift shop type. Yeah. It throws you off a little bit, but.
And they got other foods like quinoa and Brussels sprouts, stuff that no guy would ever eat. My wife would love that store.
Yeah.
You know, bulgur or something, you know, all this, you know.
But it is delicious. But when we go there, we get the chicken Sammy.
Right.
Hot chicken Sammy
and we've sent students there from class, and it's the best chicken sandwich, and they all come back. It was so good.
But the term Nashville hot, that's being associated with so many things now. That's actually like a heat index, you know, in when you look at like the Scoville units and all that, and Nashville hot is starting to fit right in there. Everything is chicken Nashville hot, you know, starting to see a lot of that popping out now.
All right. So if you're in Nashville, check out the chicken sandwiches. If you're in Massachusetts, Nan's is on Route 9 on the Westboro Southboro line, right before 495. I think they have another location in Stowe, Massachusetts. So I recommend those. But if you get a chance to go to Nashville, go to Nashville.
Yeah. So if you're coming to training in Southboro, at our Southboro Training Center, definitely you want to check this place out. And they have a drive through. So if you order ahead of time, call in. You could just swing around and use the old Wendy's drive-thru and grab your sandwich.
You know what just occurred to me? Nashville is known for what? Worldwide, what's Nashville known for?
Country music.
Country music. And here we're sending people go there to eat. Get the music. Go to eat. It just, well, if you saw us, you'd understand.
Yeah, we're talking about food again. Yeah.
Well, let's get down to business. So my name is Paul Shavs. With me is Steve Pimentel. And joining us once again from our headquarters in Suwanee, Georgia, is Sir Rick Powell.
Welcome, gentlemen. How are you today?
We're good. How's everything down there? How's the weather?
It is cloudy and hot and steamy.
It's actually the same here, actually. So good.
I know. That's the amazing thing. You know, I grew up here. Was born and raised here. Grew up here. It's funny, right, Steve?
Yeah. Yeah, you can never tell.
Wait, I've got something for Steve here. I just want to do it real quick.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so Rick is using his avatar right now on Teams, which is pretty cool. I didn't know you could do this.
Yeah. No, I just figured that out the other day. So
kind of looks like you.
Rick joined us, I know, several episodes ago. I forget what we talked about, but he's back again. So he's back to help us.
Thermostat interface.
That's what we talked about.
That was a great episode.
So we got an email from our one listener, Nick.
Oh, come on. We got more than one listener.
Well, he's the one who's emailing us.
Yes.
So Nick emailed us a while back a question right after we did the LEV episode. Rick wasn't part of
it. Nick is out of Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, my wife and I were in Hawaii, right? And I'm sidetracking here. But she was very conscious. She wanted to pronounce things the right way. You know, she was Mauna Loa, you know, and she was saying Mahalo and all these things. And she was all into it. And we get back, and she sees this sign. She goes, if we were in Hawaii, that would be called Uha'ul. And I said, no, if we're in Hawaii, that would be U-Haul.
Hold on a second.
There we go. I thought you were going to do the crickets. Anyway, Nick is, he's emailed us before.
Is the crickets.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
Right. So he's from the great state of Hawaii. He's actually, I think he met Rick. He sent us an email after we did the LEV episode on LEVs. He was asking us do they work differently on the S-Series or the Smart Multi-Series.
So here's the thing, Paul. We've done a lot of episodes on residential equipment, right? We haven't really tapped into the commercial city multi with our episodes yet. They're coming. you know, there's a lot of we have to hit that commercial side of things. So I think that's why Nick was asking, hey, is there a difference from residential LEVs versus commercial LEVs and how they operate?
Right. So Nick emailed us, and back then we answered him on an email, and actually Rick gave us the answer. That's why you're back here, Rick, to give us the answer on that. So on the LEVs, what's the difference in operation on a Smart Multi or the old S-Series system versus an R2 or a Y-Series? How different does the LEV behave?
Okay, so this kind of threw a twist in there, right? Because on your branch box units, the way they're designed, each indoor unit modulates together. So your LEVs, if you were on a one-to-one system, you just got one LEV and it modulates to maintain a good 0 to 5 degree superheat across the coil. But on a branch box or on that type of system, you're using M-Series indoor units. Whichever unit modulates down, each of your units will have a maximum position that the LEV can go to, and that is set by the size of the unit. So a 24,000 BTU unit will have a wider LEV aperture than a 12,000 BTU unit. So in other words, let's say we got 0 to 1,000 pulses. Your 24 may go up to 450 pulses, whereas a 12 may only go to 350.
Okay.
And whatever indoor unit starts to satisfy first, as this LEV modulates down, let's say it goes from 100% to 70%, the other indoor units, even though they're not satisfied, they will also go from 100% down to 70% along with that unit. So let's say the 24 had a 450 maximum pulse and the 12 had a 350. If the 24 modulated down, or even if the 12 modulated down to 70% of the 450 or the 350, the other unit would also go to 70% of its maximum throttle down, even though it's not satisfied.
Really?
So that kind of confuses people. Because what you're looking at in these multi-zone units is it's like taking, say it's a 3-ton unit, but you got 3 heads on it. All you've done is taken the evaporator and divided it up into 3 sections. It's okay. Still only going to provide the 3 tons, but it's going to modulate all of them up and down like those evaporators were merged together and they were one evaporator going up and down.
Hmm. Interesting. And that's a great way of putting it.
That is a good way to put it. It actually makes sense.
But that's the way they work, and it confuses people because you think, well, this zone is still calling, but the other zone, because it satisfies first, is pulling this zone down too. And the reason for that is that outdoor unit is still a 3-ton outdoor unit. It can't modulate down to a 2-ton out. I mean, it can modulate down, but it can't do like our big commercial stuff does, where it can section off parts of the coil and make the condenser coil smaller than what it is.
Yeah. Now that's on the Smart Multi with the branch box and M&P heads. Does it behave differently when we don't use a branch box and we put City Multi heads on it?
Yes, it will behave differently, because then they will work independently of each other. However, by design, and I can't really go into real depth detail about how these units work, they do work differently than our Y series R and R2, and just their control logic is different.
All right.
It gets more in detail, but I think it's more than we can cover in a
Right.
You know, and it's for me, I would need images and diagrams to understand it. So Nick, that hopefully answers your question. And Nick emailed us. Steve, what's the email address if somebody else has a question for us?
That would be metistechshow@hvac.mea.com.
Yeah. So if there's anybody else listening besides Nick, you know, please feel free to email us with either a question or a topic. If you want to hear a specific topic, let us know. And then after we had Rick on, when we talked about the thermostat interface, Nick sent us an email saying how wonderful he thought Rick was and what a fan of the show he is. And
yeah.
I think he called himself HVAC super fanboy or something, which leads me to believe that I think Nick is in some serious need of some counseling. But that's okay. He likes our show, so it's okay. He's not quite all there, but we're good. We like him. We love to have fans.
Come on, like Paul. That. You're not all there.
I know, which is why I've never met Nick, but I'd get along with him. He's been, and he's been to several of our training classes.
Yes.
He's got training out there with a distributor out there.
He goes to Houston, to the Houston Training Center. Yep. So
let's segue in to this. Since we're talking about LEVs, let's talk about the LEV kit. So what is the LEV kit, Rick?
It is a way for you to put your air handler on one of our outdoor units.
And we're talking City Multi outdoor units. Now we're talking commercial VRF, not mini splits, right?
Commercial VRF. So you can, and I use this term lightly, technically speaking, you're supposed to use one of our mechanical engineers to assist you when choosing an evaporator coil to connect this to, so that we keep a good standard of operation and efficiency. But literally you could take any air handler and attach this to it. What it is the indoor circuit board, the thermistors and the LEV heads that you can connect to your air handler, and then put a City Multi outdoor unit on it. Now, in the beginning, you could use an S series. Now, I've never had a problem with the S series, but our product planning team, and for those who don't understand the S series, that is a Pumi or a Smart Multi, the product planning team claims that there is some firmware version that will throw an error code if you try to put this on a Pumi or a Smart Multi, so that it won't work. But for our R2 and Y series, you can definitely use this and control your own air handler.
Okay. And these are available between 6,000 BTUs and 240,000 BTUs. Am I correct in saying that?
Oh, that's a good question. You think I had the...
There is a wide range. And I'm just going by our City Multi-class when we talk about the LEV kit. And it's probably the most I know about the LEV kit.
I barely know how to spell LEV.
It goes from 4,800 BTUs all the way up to 240,000.
Oh, wow.
So you can go from a half a ton, a little less than half a ton, all the way up to 20 tons.
Right. And I just want to reiterate what Rick just said a few seconds ago. The important thing here is it's true with any City Multi job. You can't just show up and start slapping a system together. You need to have a plan. You need to have a DSB. It needs to be designed. We have our own sales engineers that can design these for you to make sure you have the select, the right equipment, the right LEV kit. So don't just go buy one and install it on any air handler. Please get our folks involved either at your distributorship or your, or regionally contact your business unit, your Mitsubishi business unit, and we'll get an engineer to help you with that. So I just wanted to go back to that and emphasize that. So the purpose of the LEV, it comes with the controllers as if it were one of our indoor units, but now I can put this on a third-party air handler, correct, Rick? So
that is, right. Yeah, that is correct. And it still has all the control options that you have with any of our indoor units. So you could use the MHK2, you could use an MA controller, a PAR 40, or a simple MA controller. You can use the Kumo Cloud app. You could use ME, Smart ME controller.
Yep.
You can use a thermostat interface. It has all the same control options that you have with any other device. Right.
So what's the advantage to the LEV kit? I mean, if I'm going to come in and put a brand new City Multi system into a building, why would I opt to use a third-party air handler rather than a Mitsubishi air handler?
Well, the biggest thing that I can think of and that I do see all the time is that the biggest air handler we make is a 96,000. With this one, you can go all the way up to 240,000. So you can put a much bigger air handler for this.
So I get the benefits of the VRF with just more capacity.
Yeah. Right. So what I hear a lot of here in the Northeast, its popularity is an outside air, the ERV.
Right.
Right. So they're trying to condition fresh air or condition outside air into a building. So they're doing this on a large scale. The LEV kit is their answer, especially part, being with Train, it's not uncommon to see a lot of our City Multi equipment and Train ERV systems or any other third-party ERV system on a job where they're covering a large part of the building with that fresh air. And they're able to condition that air, dehumidify it, heat it, right? That's what I see here in the Northeast quite a bit of what they're using the LEV kit for.
Yeah, and because this is going to be an engineer job, we don't want to get too technical into that. But I'm assuming that the LEV kit is addressed just like another indoor unit?
Yes, it is. And that's getting back to what Steve said. One of the primary reasons that the LEV kit was developed is it has two modes of operation. Traditionally, all of our indoor units work off of return air temp for space temp, right? And over the years, we get a lot of requests for people that want supply air temp control. That's one of the options you can get in this. You can use a 0 to 10 or a 0 to 5 volt input and control to supply air temp. And that's where that falls into your outside air units, where you're bringing outside air in, you want to keep it at a neutral, 68 degrees or 70 degrees. This one allows you to look at the supplier temp leaving that unit and control to that rather than return temp.
Oh, interesting.
Wow. Yeah, so the control box that the LEV kit comes with is quite big, right? And it kind of throws some people off, but it's basically all of your addressing dials are on there. Your port assignment dials, and there's a ton of dip switches on there as well. All your M1, M2 connections. It just gets daisy chained, basically, just like an indoor unit onto that job, right?
Right. It's you're literally making your air handler a Mitsubishi indoor unit. It's not a Mitsubishi indoor unit, obviously, but you're making it to where it will work just like a Mitsubishi indoor unit.
Oh, nice.
All the components are there.
Yeah. So correct me if I'm wrong, there is a discharge air thermistor with the LEV kit as well. It's optional that you can use.
So there is, and there are some little things that can cause you problems, right? So there is a discharge air thermistor, a return air thermistor, and two pipe thermistors, one for the liquid pipe and one for the gas pipe going in and out of the evaporator. If you're using supplier control, you're obviously going to target that supplier temp.
Right.
If you're using return air control, you can monitor the supplier temperature sensor. However, when you do that, it limits the temperature at which the supplier can come out. It limits it to 55 degrees, and if you do go below that 55 degrees, it will, even though you're just monitoring it, it will modulate the LEB down. You're in return air control. So a lot of people like, and that's something that, you know, coming from a commercial background, people tend to get hung up on wanting to maintain a supply of 55 degree air temp, which is fine and dandy in a big building where you have satellite VAB, VVT boxes that have reheat in them.
Yep.
But in a standard application where it's just an air handler, there's no real reason that I see to supply 55 degree air. But we have engineers, and I see it on plans a lot of copy and paste specifications wanting supplier of 55 degrees. And this allows us to meet that demand.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very common. So I worked at Rhode Island Hospital for 10 years, and everything is VAV controlled. So all the air handlers and throughout all of the buildings at the hospital, basically their job is to supply 55 degree air. It's like a standard.
Yeah.
So from there that we can reheat that air. And like I said, through VAVs and reheats and whatnot, but interesting. Is there anything else we can touch on the LEV kit, Paul?
No, I think we hit it all. We talked about the most common applications. I think, and basically it's just capacity, and it's just another choice. It's just another choice that you have if you're putting a system together.
And it's again, a win-win. Putting a piece of equipment on an inverter-driven Mitsubishi system. It's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, and let's just make sure it's designed properly and engineered properly. Get the distributor involved. Get us involved. You don't just want to show up and do this yourself and start slapping it together. Rick, anything else to add?
I think that covers it.
All right. Thanks again, Rick.
Thanks, everybody.
Dropping in, and we'll see everybody on the next episode of the Metis Tech Show.
All right. Now, do you think Nick has a sense of humor? He'll understand. I was just kidding.
I'm sure he has a sense of humor. And he probably knows that your sense of humor. So
yeah, because he's got to be one of the three people listening to the show.
Yeah. 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 Come on. We got more listeners.
All right. We're in
36 countries. We got thousands of downloads.
36 countries.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm surprised there's that many people with nothing to do and all over the world.
Thousands of downloads.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. 36 countries. That's the amazing thing. People are listening to us all over the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, at least Australia's in wintertime. They got nothing to do.
Yeah. They're listening. Australia, New Zealand, Japan.
Tanzania.
Although, our first person to listen outside of the country was someone in South Africa. That was like our second or first episode.
Yeah, we were like, yoo-hoo!
Yeah.
Look at this.
Yeah. It turned out it was the business unit director from the Northeast who was there on his honeymoon and downloaded it. So. But everybody else...